These are your prayers. I'm interested this morning in us understanding where we're at, especially where we're at in history. I think it's very important for us to know where we're at. When the armies of Titus surrounded Jerusalem in 70 AD, Josephus said, the Jewish historian, that there was no Christians there. They had left the city. The reason they left was because the words that Jesus had spoke to them all those many years before that was recorded, they understood where they were at. They had saw the signs of the time, and they were in tune with the Spirit of God and the words of Jesus, and they moved out of the city before it was surrounded. Some of the most horrible accounts of history took place inside that siege. They got so hungry that they ate their own children. They began to murder and eat human flesh. All those kind of horrible, horrible things happened within that city. And it would have happened to the Christians too, except for they understood where they were at. Their time, their particular time was understood to them. I think it's important today that you and I realize where we're at, and that we take courage, and I hope that we all desire that the Lord would help us in our time. It would not have been enough to have simply said, I believe that the Romans circling here, I believe this is going to happen. It wouldn't have been enough to do that. There had to be an action taking place of faith. They believed, they moved. They got out of the harm's way. And I believe that we live in a time today that is really sapping spirituality. We live in a time that's making people very lethargic about their souls. It's easy to do. It's very easy. It's very easy to become just lukewarm, just nothing really matters. It becomes, the whole world is suggesting a lazy, fat experience. The whole thing is becoming lazy, it seems. We live in a time, and I'm hoping that the Lord would instill upon us the seriousness today of the time that we live in. Did you realize where you're at in 2014? I heard a report day before yesterday. National Public Radio was summing up the year of 2013, and their title for 2013 was The Year of the Gay. Because of the great strides that the homosexual community has made in 2013, it has been making strides, but 2013 to them mark the greatest achievements that they could have ever thought of. A number of states have passed laws of marriage. A number of barriers have broken down. Judges are starting to rule overwhelmingly in their favors. All of these things, and I want to say on the front of this message, it isn't about, I'm not preaching about gays today, and I believe no matter what contact our lives is with people, it is to be loving and kind and in the Spirit of Christ and to the salvation of souls. So right off, there's no hate speech here with me. I love everybody, and so does it the Lord. But it is an indicator. And I think Christians everywhere ought to know that there is an indicator of the signs of the time, where we live in, where are we at? What are we going to have to face? How are you going to deal with it? How are we going to deal with it? What are we going to... It's a sign of the times of and the seriousness to our own souls. The most damaging things that we're going to have to face isn't that. It is the lethargy of our own soul. It's just allowing things to be. Just allowing things to be. Are we going to be able to stand where the Lord wants us to stand of the things that He says He hates? Do we hate? Are we going to allow the pressures of the world to encroach upon the statements that we make? Are we going to be able to say that I'm a Christian? I believe in salvation that purifies, that cleans, that makes a person whole and back in the image of God. Are we willing to say that? I was telling one of my daughters yesterday, I don't hear anybody articulating. I don't hear anyone articulating God's side in it. You know, we're not animals. The Scripture says that He created man in the image of God. We weren't made like animals. We're made like, you know what, we're higher than animals. We don't have to act like animals. We're higher. I'd like to hear somebody make the argument that we're not made like animals. We don't have, no matter what you think about it, man never has to go by his own fleshly desires and ways. We're higher than that. There's men that's chosen to have a life of no relationships because he's a higher soul than, he's a higher being than that. He can choose, he can do those things. We're not animals. So I'd like for us to consider this morning this idea. You ever hear the statement, the handwriting's on the wall? Folks, the handwriting's on the wall. By the time the handwriting's on the wall, there's a proclamation made. You can't go back then and say, oops. When the handwriting's on, that statement means the handwriting's on the wall. It means that there is a definite, it's already foretold. Something's going to happen. It's told. The handwriting's on the wall. So I want to get that idea in Daniel. I think most of us remember this story. I believe that is the fifth chapter of Daniel. The first verse says, Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the thousands. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and the silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessel that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass and of iron and of wood and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that his joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against the other. The king cried aloud to bring the astrologers and the Chaldeans and soothsayers. And the king spake and said to these wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler of the kingdom. Now get the picture here. There's a candle burning. You know what candlelight puts off. Imagine this scene. Got a plaster wall here, it sounds like. And there's a candlestick over here, and there's enough light to be able to see. And all of a sudden there appears fingers of a man's hand and writes something on the wall. The handwriting's on the wall. I imagine if I saw that, my knees would be knocking together too. The handwriting's on the wall. Something has been told, foretold, proclaimed. Do you know the Lord has already proclaimed? It's the handwriting's on the wall, folks, for the people that forget God, for the nation that forgets God, for the people of the earth. The handwriting's on the wall. It is for us to believe. It's for the Christians to be able to say, here's where we're at in history. And I know people's been proclaiming the Lord coming back for thousands of years, and people have said this thing. But folks, honestly, look at the world today. If you would have said 50 years, not 50 years ago, I'm 51, I say 25, 30 years ago, if you would have said to the populace of the people, you would have said where we're at right now in history, it would have shocked them. But we didn't get there in an instant. We got there in the process of time, a little. We've heard it. We've numbed to it. We've heard it. We've numbed to it. We've accepted things. We've got there. And now we don't go around all day wondering about it, thinking about it. It's happened. We're here. That's the way it is. You know, it's already been foretold. It said in the days of Noah that the hearts of the imaginations of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. You know, other than Noah and his family, God could not find anyone that didn't have a continual evil motive in their life. Their whole ideas and thoughts was to somehow connive, to cheat, to strive, to envy, to lust, to covet, to get things for the flesh. That's all men ever thought about or done. And the Word proclaims that in our day it'll be the same way. When the coming of the Lord, it would be like the days of Noah, that men's heart, we're getting there. I'm not saying there isn't people that care about good and decent things yet, but look at the direction. The handwriting is on the wall. The king looks at it and he sees it happen over there. Now there's handwriting on the wall that come from a mysterious force. And the king wants, and he calls in his so-called understandings, his men of understandings. Well, we know this story. Finally, the queen says to the king, nobody could interpret it. And so the queen says to the king, now don't let your heart fail you here. There's a man in the kingdom whom the Spirit of the Holy Gods is with. And he can interpret this. And so they get Daniel to come in to interpret this. I'll pick it up in the 17th verse. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. O king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. I'm going to tell you right in the onset of this that I am so thankful that God is this way. That king wanted an answer, and so here's a man that's willing to give it to him. He did not sugarcoat this for this man. He didn't try to make it sound different than it was. He simply come and told him what God, what the truth was about it. I thank God for the truth today. Where are you at? Where are we at in history? I want to know what the truth is. I want to know where I stand at in that history. I want to know if it's time to run. I want to get the sneakers on. If it's time to go, I want to go. I want to be ready for the time. What is this time? What should we be doing in this time? What is the Christian's responsibility in this time? The handwriting's on the wall, folks. I think this is a very, very serious time. I think we ought to be warning the people. I think we ought to be warning ourselves. I can't save everybody, but my soul is continually in my hands. How serious are you today about serving God? I wonder about those people that was in Jerusalem. The serious ones left. Everybody else had to face the consequences. So Daniel comes in. And for the majesty that he gave him, all the people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Who he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he set upon, and whom he would he put down. Or he set up, and whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingdomly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses, and they fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. And thou his son, O Belshazzar, has not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but has lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou hast, and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold and of brass and iron and wood and stone, which see not nor hear nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and all whose are all thy ways hast thou not glorified. Then was the part of thy hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Meeni, meeni, tekel, upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Meeni, meeni. God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou hast weighed in the balance and are found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be third ruler in the kingdom. And now listen, in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. It happened fast, didn't it? There was nothing else to do. There was no way to change the writing once it was on the wall. This guy got himself in a place. The scripture says, though, you knew all of this. I think that's part of why God done it, was because He knew. You knew all of this. You knew that there was a God. You've seen it. You've heard it. You've been touched by it. Your body's been healed by it. You've been blessed by it. You've seen the benefits of it. You've done all these things. And though you know this, you glorified the world. You glorified the things that are around you. You took that on to yourself. You never glorified the God that made you. Although you knew all this, Belshazzar, there's a writing, a finger that comes and warns. Not warns now. There's nothing you can do about it now. There's a time in every man's life, in every generation, there's a time for every culture and people that the writing's going to be on the wall, and there's no way to change it. There's no way to change this now, Belshazzar. You knew all of these things and you chose to go and get those vessels. You chose to do wickedly. You chose to do evil. And now I'm only here, Daniel could say, as an interpreter. I offer you no hope. You wanted somebody to tell you? I'm here to tell you in the past judgment what the finger of God has written. No man can change it. Your kingdom has been taken from you and given to another. There's nothing you can do with the hours left of what you've done. You know the scripture says that the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. I wish that all men would be saved. Folks, as long as there's time, there's opportunity to be saved. But you know, there's going to come a time that God's going to write. The writing's on the wall for what it means and what it is. A nation that forgets God hasn't got a chance. I see the things around us happening, and folks, it's picking up speed. The snowball's getting bigger and it's rolling faster. Do you know what I said about 2013 is just now pumped up for 2014? The snowball's rolling. And it's picking up speed and it's picking up. And now, do you know 25 years ago, it wasn't the same? Now, There's a great move to evolution too, and to the fact that religion is a crutch for man to make him feel better. But the truth of it is that we're a product of evolution, and you are ignorant to believe anything else other than that. You're totally ignorant. That's the day we live in. Are you willing to be ignorant in the sight of people? You're going to have to be if you're going to stand up for the Lord. Do you know what I was reading you about this? You can go over into, I believe it's the book of Romans, and you can write off, see that God condemned homosexuality. I don't have to. It's not my place. I didn't do it. So for me to be a Christian, I'm going to have to stand up against some things. It isn't only that. I'm not going to point that out, but I'm going to talk fornications, adultery, idolatry, all the whole works of mankind, all the whole works of the flesh are condemned of God. I didn't say it. You can't shoot the messenger. But where are we at? Are we willing to stand where the truth's at? Are we willing to stay there and say no? Do you know from the beginning of the New Testament age, there was false prophets and false religion and false Christian religion was prominent in the days of Paul. Is there any around now? Is there? Or is it okay? Everything okay? Well, if it was prominent then, it's much more now. But where is it at? You've got to say, where are we at here with this? There is a host of falseness out there that's trying to take away. It's trying to take away the truth of the Lord. I want to pick up another scripture. Oh, let's see. It's in 1 Samuel. I want to look at the life of Saul a little bit. King Saul. King Saul was chosen in 1 Samuel 15. He was king. We all know the story probably. The Lord had told Samuel, the prophet, to go tell King Saul he had a job for him. That had the fullness of time had come. And there was a nation that had not done well when his people had come in there, and God remembered that, and it was time for judgment, and King Saul was to perform the judgment of the Lord. Samuel went and told him, this is what you're supposed to do. I'm going to pick it up in the 19th. It says, wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord? This is Samuel talking. But did fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me and have brought Agag, the king of the Amalek, and have utterly destroyed all the Amalekites. I am amazed at how easy it is to distort truth. Exceptions. Caveats. He didn't exactly mean it. That was meant with an exception. That was meant to put a little here there. The Lord told him to go and utterly destroy all of it. Not to bring anything of it back. Or to take anything to themselves. That's pretty easy. It's kind of like the Lord told Adam and Eve, here's a tree, don't eat of it. Lest you die. Well, he didn't exactly mean it that way. Well, he didn't exactly mean that, so he repeats back to the prophet and said, I've done the will of God. And I brought the king back. As if bringing the king back was the will of God. You see how he twisted, how he done it? Folks, don't think that's far from home. That's a capability of every human and every fleshly man is to take an exception.
I done the will of God, except for the very thing I done was what he told me not to do. Here he says, I brought the king back and I destroyed the rest of them. But the people took the spoils. He told you not to take any spoils. I didn't. It was out of my hands. See the exception? You ever make them? Folks, this is the danger of the time we live in. This is part of the danger of the time we live in, to get ourselves into a place without strength or power of God. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Not having the blessings of the Lord upon us because we're not obeying the Lord in the words of the Lord. He said the people took the spoil, the sheep, the oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. Now listen, here's another human quality. I'll do it for God and make it right. If I do what the Lord said I'm not doing, people will say, I've heard this argument all my life. They'll say of the things the Scripture says, I don't feel no condemnation. As if you don't feel no condemnation, then that makes it right. But what if you've seared yourself against condemnation? It isn't how you feel about it. It's what the Lord said about it. We didn't feel like that there was a... What we'll do is, the Lord said this, but we're going to one-up the Lord. He said to not bring anything back, but we're going to up one and we're going to surprise Him. We're going to take some nice stuff so we can sacrifice it to Him. Really? You know, we do, if we're not careful, we'll have the same kind of views of things in our life. I know I shouldn't do that kind of stuff, but I'll do it to the Lord. I'll do it for the Lord, or somehow I'll incorporate spirituality to it. And that'll make it right. What I'm doing, I heard one time of folks that wasn't dressing themselves the way they knew they should. They said, it is for us to have a better witness for the people that we're around. Okay. But the Lord said, don't do it. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as the iniquity of idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. There's some handwriting on the wall for King Saul. Saul, and read and understand where you're at. You'd have been wise to have understood where you were at before you done this. That if you do what... Would Saul have really... Had he really known the penalty of what he is doing? I really wonder if he would have done it. But because many times he had got away with some disobediences. Had he really known that the prophet was going to show up when he got home and lay judgment to his evil deeds? I wonder if he had done them. I wonder if he'd have got more backbone about him. I wonder if he'd been more severe to know. Maybe we all look and say, Lord, if you had just write on that wall till I could read the consequences beforehand, if you'd allow me the privilege of seeing and feeling the knee knocking and seeing the hand write, maybe I wouldn't have done it to start with. Maybe Belshazzar wouldn't have drunk out of the sanctified vessels. Maybe he would have reversed it. Wish we had such a privilege to be able to see the seriousness of this beforehand. But we don't. We have God's Word. We have His witness of His Spirit. We have a great prophecy of... The prophecy of the Gospel and what our day would be. But that's all we have. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned.
For I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord. In thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. What isn't that way? Isn't our greatest fear what people think? Now I want to really think about this. You think of those that have been here and left. You think about all the situations you've been in. Isn't one of our greatest, one of the things that greatest fears is what somebody else thinks about it. Isn't it what the world's going to think about us? Isn't it what they really, the opinions they have? Isn't that one thing that, you know, the commentator said of Saul here, if he'd had more fear of God and less fear of people, he wouldn't have done it to start with. It was because he didn't fear God enough that he feared the people so much. We should fear God more than we fear people. We should fear that one that has an all-seeing eye on your life. I don't have to go around watching you and then try to get a Sunday message. The Lord sees what you're doing. The sign, the handwriting's on the wall for the signs of our time, folks. I'm going to say in the fear of God, you can't afford it if you want to go to heaven. You can't afford it. You can't afford to get mixed up in sectism. You can't afford today. You can't afford to let down your standards. You can't afford to be lax in your prayer life. You can't afford it today. Because if you do, I say in the fear of God, you're going to lose your soul. The handwriting's already on the wall. We want to look at it as mushy and gushy, and God loves and He'll be there all the time. There'll be a time He'll write for you. He'll write for you. It's been taken from you. You don't have the candlestick anymore. It stirs my soul. I've been really, really seeking God. Lord, have mercy on me. Been trying to tighten up some places. The scripture talks about those who are going to run, going to gird up. You know what gird up means? It means that there's nothing loose or flapping that I won't would hinder me in my run. Because there's time now I'm going to have to run for some things. So I've been erasing some things. I've been, Lord help me. I've been tightening up some things. I see some signs of the times and I don't want to be interfered with some things in there. I'll be honest with you. I felt like I got some things, some looseness. It's not sins, but I feel like I got some looseness, some things of entertaining, some things in there that I was put there because I'm feeling some boredom, some this and that. And the Lord started telling me, you better tighten up. And I started moving that way. Lord, I want to tighten up some things because I'm going to have to run this race. And you know what? I've determined, now you're just going to have mercy if you think otherwise, but I have determined to preach the Word. I have determined that you're going to have to hear it whether it sounds good or not. Whether it's itching or don't. No tickling. You're going to have to hear it. If there's a place that you say we've had enough, then you come and say I've had enough. But I've determined I'm going to preach the Word of God because it is the power of God to salvation. It's going to be the gospel that's going to save us. You're going to have to at least know we're in a time, folks, and it's going to rock all of us to sleep if we ain't very careful. And if we ain't very careful, we ain't going to look like the establishment was put here to start with. Because we're losing the desire for God. We're going to have to get it back. We're going to have to keep it. We're going to have to run it all the way through. Lord help us. My burden for my own soul has been tighten up. Tighten up. Well, we know the story of Saul. Do you know he talked words of repentance? They sounded real good. But for some reason, it didn't work. You know why it didn't work? Because he didn't mean it. He was sorry he got caught. And he didn't mean it. Had he meant it, I believe it would have been different. But there was no real repentance in there. And so he reaches out as the prophet says, it's took from you. The handwriting. You can't change it, Saul. Now you're here. It's done. And as the prophet went to walk away, he had the audacity to grab the prophet. That prophet was only representing God. He grabbed God and rent his mantle. I don't think that was a very good thing to do. I think that the end of Saul and the way he acted had a lot to do with that rending the prophet's garment. That evil spirit that was sin. You know, Saul couldn't discern between right and wrong anymore. He had an evil spirit on him and he couldn't even discern. He didn't know the difference. To get all the way from a man chosen to a man that rents the prophet's garment. And the prophet turned and said, "You prophesied. The kingdom's going to be rent from you." Lord, help us today. Over in the book of Nahum, I'm going to close with this. Again, my burden is, where are we at? Or may I say it more, I say it in the first person. Where am I at in this time? The scripture says, "He that dasheth in pieces," and I know this scripture has a particular context to it. If you want to look at it and what it really means, it was talking about the time that the Assyrians was taken and the kingdom was lost. But it says, "He that dasheth in pieces is come up before thy face." What are you going to do about it? That force that's able to crush you, destroy you, dash you to pieces is right before your eyes. What's the encouragement then of it? How can you stand against it? What are you going to do? The scripture says, keep the munition. See, you know what ammunition is? Ammunition is the bullet you put in the gun. The munitions is the thing you put it in. Keep your attacking ability. Keep your ability to fight. Keep the munitions. Keep your warfare. Keep your armor. Keep your swords. Keep the things. Don't discard them. Keep the things. You'll say, "I've lived this way a long time." Yeah, I felt this way before. I've done this a long time. I'm getting tired. All of a sudden another thing comes and I'm saying, I'm tired. I'm tired of fighting this last week and this last week and now I'm fighting this week. I'm tired. You ain't get that. The scripture's encouraging you. Keep your sword in your hand. I'd like to encourage everybody in here that cares. Apply the Word of God to your life. There are some wonderful words of God. How many times have that scripture we had in Sunday school today, the memory verse? Romans 8:28. How many times as when the thing looked bad is that all things work? The Word of God placed in the heart is, it's quick and powerful, the scripture says. Quick and powerful. To get encouragement. From what? A battle that seems long and tedious. But all things work together for good to them that love God. It gives courage and strength. And how could you forget? For God so loved the world that He gave. How many times have I felt completely worthless and I felt that I failed and I could? Why would anybody accept me? But then there's these words. For God so loved the world. Oh. Or how about the scripture there that says that, "Brethren, I would that you sin not. But if you do, you have an advocate." How many souls have grasped that for life? You have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. The words of God to encourage, inspire, bless, keep. I encourage you to make the Word of God the lamp for your feet. It's what's going to take us through the times that we're in. Believing it. I totally understand that we need the Spirit of God to help us discern it. I understand that. But Lord, help us to place value on the Word of God. That this, when I face my battle, here's my answer. It's right here in the Word of God. How do I respond to this situation? Humility. How many scripture? How many times have I said, thought of that scripture in Philippians about Jesus? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What did He do? He humbled Himself and become obedient to death, even to the death of the cross. How many times the answer for what I was going through was to humble myself? Right there in the Word of God. Keep the munition. Oh, the munition. Keep the munition. Watch the way. Watch. It means your eyes are open. You're looking attentive. Can that, will that destroy me? Is that of God? What is this? I'm watching. Watching to see, to understand, to know. So it says, keep, watch. Make thy loins strong. And again, it's to make strong ability to move to the warfare that we have. What else may come up? Anybody want to prophesy today what we're going to face in 2014? If the Lord allows it to come to us, I wouldn't have any idea what we might face in the next year. But watch. Make thy loins strong. Fortify thy power mightily. And I wanted to stop on that verse right there, that part of that verse. Fortify thy power mightily. Because that's the real burden that the Lord give me is that we fortify what we have. That we not be a time of looking around, but let's consider and draw in and make strong the places maybe you've let down. Maybe there's places that it's not as strong as it used to be. Maybe the faith that you once had don't really shine like it used to. Maybe there's places that need redone. Fortify your power mightily. Make it strong. And why? Because He that dashes to pieces is looking you right in the eye. And if you don't, you're going to be dashed to pieces. So Lord, help us today. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.